joy to know that your children walk in truth, is there? Isn't that wonderful? I know the preacher is thrilled that his family's serving the Lord, and he gets his daughter sings, and Jared's down there, and they're serving God, and Matthew's here. So what a blessing that is. Psalm chapter number 92 this evening. Psalm chapter 92. It's always a joy and a privilege, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here. We've done the last few years the Valentine's Banquet. Always enjoy that. The last couple of years they've combined. It's been a great time. Then I get a chance to stay over and fellowship with Brother Terry and Sharon, and get to be with y'all in church. And so that's a thrill, and we appreciate that. Psalm chapter 92. Look down to verse number 12. Psalm 92, verse number 12. When you find your place, if you would, please stand with us this evening. The Bible says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." I know I am biblical. I am fat and flourishing. The Bible says in verse 15, "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." I'm drawn to verse number 12. We as born-again believers are compared to two things. We're compared to a cedar in Lebanon, that indestructible tree that talks about we have an everlasting, eternal salvation. But then I'm drawn to the fact that we are compared to a palm tree. And for about 20 minutes, if I can keep my word, by 7 anyway, it's 23 minutes, I'll be done. So hang with me 23 minutes and we'll... you can take us out to Dairy Queen and buy something to eat, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the goodness of God, Lord. Tonight again, we stand behind the sacred desk asking for help tonight, asking for your people to be blessed, encouraged, and strengthened. God, give us exactly what our souls need tonight. Lord, fresh bread from heaven's oven. Lord, we do pray that you would instruct us and lead us and guide us and direct us. And God, for all that you're going to do, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. Worthy is thy name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As far as we know, David is the author. We don't know the circumstances behind the psalm or the backdrop of what's going on, but we do know it was a psalm of praise and a psalm of victory, and that it was ordinarily read on the Sabbath day when they would come to worship God. Throughout Scripture, we are compared to many things. We're compared as believers to branches, and I'm glad we're hooked to the right vine. We're compared to sheep, and we have a good shepherd. We are talked about as little baby eagles in the book of Deuteronomy. We're a family. We're a candlestick. We're likened to a field. We're a city, but here it says we're a palm tree. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 1, verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Now, the palm tree was a symbol of the nation of Israel. It was so important that it was engraven upon the coins of that day. Also, if you had gone into Solomon's temple to worship, you would have seen it on the walls engraved. The palm tree was used for various things. In fact, there's over 2,000 uses, they say, for it. There's over 3,000 species of it. The tree was used to produce shade, an oasis in the desert. It was used to make medicine. It was eaten as food. The leaves were made to make paper so that you could write upon it. It was used in construction to build things. And so it was very useful. And so likewise, we who are saved by God's grace should be useful and helpful in the things of God. Four things tonight let me give you. First of all, about this palm tree, notice as we talk about us as palm tree, notice where we're planted. In verse number 13, notice what it says about this palm tree. Those that be planted planted in the house of the Lord. How in the world can a palm tree be fat and flourishing? How in old age can it still be fruitful? How in a desert can it be an evergreen? How is those things possible? I'll tell you how it's possible, because it's been planted in the right soil. It says that a palm tree has deep roots in the house of the Lord. Now, we know that during difficult times, those who study trees tell us the palm tree has something that only God could give it, that it knows how to survive tough times. It runs its roots down deeper. It knows the best water and the freshest water will be down deep. And it says that we've been planted in the house of God. I think church should be important. I think it should be a priority in our lives. I believe when you get saved, there'll be a desire to be in the house of God. Listen to what the psalmist said. He said, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand." Now, I can testify to what he's about to say. He said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." He said in Psalm 84 that his soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. And then we know in Psalm 122 in verse number 1, the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." If you're going to be strong, if you're going to endure the storms and tough times of life, you had better get your roots down deep in the house of God. The house of God's the place we get fed. It's the place God fills us and God fires us and God many times furnishes us. I found my bride at the house of God. I found direction from the Lord at his house. I've gotten guidance. He's convicted me. He's dealt with my heart. He's blessed me. He's answered prayer. He's done tons of things, and he's done it at his house. There's no place, someone said, like this place, anywhere near this place. So this must be the place. We're in a day and hour where church is not important. In fact, most places, they don't have church on Sunday evening. I know some places, an independent church doesn't have church on Wednesday night. They have it on Sunday morning. I said, why? They said, we get everything we need on Sunday morning. Well, I wish I was that spiritual. I wish I could say that, but I'm such a wicked sinner, I need Sunday school. I'm such a low-down, sorry rascal, I need church on Sunday morning. I need to come back on Sunday night. And then about the middle of the week, I need it again. In fact, I'm so bad, God puts me in church all the time because I need it. And the truth of the matter is, we're not brave enough, strong enough, smart enough to overcome world flesh and to live as a victorious Christian in this world without the house of God. We need the Lord. We need his house. We need his word. We need the man of God to pin his ears back and to preach that book line upon line, precept upon precept, exactly like God gave it. We need to be preached to. We need the fellowship that we have together. We need the camaraderie. We need the fact to know that someone's praying for us. Someone loves us. Someone's going to encourage us. Someone's going to be there for us. You see that when a group of palm trees come together, they form an oasis. An oasis is a place for those who are strangers and pilgrims in the desert to find rest and to find hope. You know what this church is? It's a place of hope. It's where a bunch of palm trees have come together to form an oasis. So that guy out there that's got needle marks, that guy who's on meth, that girl who's backed up for the third time, that family who's busting up, so they can find somewhere for direction for their life. They can find hope instead of ending their life, instead of doing something stupid, instead of going at the world. They can say, hey, if you need some help, if you need direction, if you need to find grace, if you need to get born again, I know a place you can find it. Over in Ludowice, there's an oasis. There's a bunch of born again, blood washed children of God who've come together to form an oasis, and you can find rest for your soul. You can get help and strength for your life over there. And so we find that as a palm tree, we see where we're planted. Secondly, notice in verse 12, as palm trees, see what we picture. There's many interesting things about palm trees. Palm trees are different. They're unlike any other tree. You and I are not merely to be strange for strange sake, but we are a peculiar people. We're saved by the grace of God. We're not headed in the same direction everybody else is headed in. Our life has been conformed and changed by God's grace and by His Spirit. The palm tree knows where to find water. It's alive on the inside. Most trees are dead on the inside, and they have life on the outside. The palm tree has life within it. You and I who are saved, God has extended His everlasting, eternal, never-dying life and given us that. Do you realize tonight we're going to live as long as God lives in the ceaseless ages of eternity in a brand new body? We'll be around the throne of grace, the throne of glory, wondering why we're there, looking upon the One who still bears the covenant marks of Calvary, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb," and giving glory to God because God has given us life. Now also it knows where to find water. It knows how to get strength. It knows where to find help. I'm glad I know where to find help when I'm down and when I'm discouraged and when I don't know which way to turn or which way to go. I know there's a book I can run to. I know there's people I can call that'll get on their knees and pray for me. I know there's a God in heaven that's gone behind the mercy seat and He's made a way and the veil's been rent and we can approach the throne of grace. I'm glad the palm tree is different. It stands out. Also, we notice about a palm tree that storms don't defeat it or destroy it, but storms strengthen it. When a storm comes, a palm tree will bow and it will bend, but it'll not break. And just as soon as the storm leaves, it bounces right back up where it was before. In fact, they tell us that it does better because of storms. Because of the storm, the trunk gets stronger and the tree gets taller because of the opposition of the storm. I don't like storms. I don't like valleys. I don't like trials and I don't like difficulty. I guess I'm a wimp believer, but God sends them my way and God will send them your way. And the truth of the matter is I love cloud number 9. I love jubilee time. I love wonderful time. I like it when I got money. I like it when the car cranks. I like it when the kids are well. I like it when my wife's saying, "Honey," I like it when things are good. But many times God, in His providence, will so allow things to occur in my life and your life. And the truth is He's not trying to defeat us. He's trying to help us and mature us, and the storm will make a palm tree stronger. And I can tell you if somebody's a palm tree or not, because after they endure their storm and their trial and their difficulty, just look at them. They'll bounce right back up. They'll be back in church Sunday. They'll be back reading their Bible. They'll be back witnessing. They'll be back working and serving the Lord. The palm tree also has no branches. It goes up. It's always pointing up in an act of worship. It's always saying it's all about Him. And a palm tree Christian will say, "It's not about me. It's not about this and this and this and this, but it's all about Him." Also, I like this about a palm tree. A palm tree will not burn. They don't use it for firewood. Nobody's getting this but me. A palm tree will not burn. Burn. We are palm trees, so it must mean that we as palm trees are not going to burn. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" It means you're not going to hell. It means you're saved by God's amazing grace. It means you're headed for glory. You're headed for Emmanuel. You know why? There's three things, the reason that it will not burn. First of all, because it has life inside of it. It's not dead. Dead wood burns, but life. It has life inside of it. And I've got the life of Jesus inside of me. When I got saved, the Spirit of God baptized me in the body of Christ, and I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption. He lives inside of me. There's life in me. The second reason it won't burn, it's got water in it. You say, "Can you burn?" It's going to be hard to burn me because I got water. I've got the word of life. The third reason it won't burn is it's got oil inside of it.
Amen.
Yeah, you're the only one catching on. Maybe y'all just preach to you. So a palm tree cannot burn because it has life, because it's full of water, and because it's oozing with oil. Thank God you and I who are saved are indwelled and filled and controlled by the Spirit of the living God, the oil of God, and we have His water, and we've been washed in the water of His Word, and we've got everlasting, eternal, never dying life inside of us.
Amen.
What's the devil going to do with that? Devil sends a storm, we just bounce right back up. The devil says, I'll burn you, and we say, try. Also, you notice how the palm tree is different. The palm tree is different because it's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of praise. It's an evergreen. What occurs around it does not affect it. It's an evergreen in a desert. It's an evergreen in a lush situation. It does not let what occurs around it, the situation and circumstance around it, do not change it whatsoever. It remains the same. Also, it keeps its identity. It cannot be grafted. Sound like eternal security. I'm going to keep the identity that God has given me. I'm saved, born again. So if I were to be unsaved and unborn again, I would lose the identity. Now, if you walk through the woods, some of you who have hunted, you'll come upon a farmer who is, and he has nailed that to a tree. If it's there long enough, that tree will go around it, and that fence will be inside of it. You can't do that to a palm tree. You put a band around a palm tree, it will not be engrafted inside. That palm tree will break the band. It won't let anything be grafted inside of it. Whatever tries to hold it back, whatever tries to bind it, whatever is trying to enslave it, whatever is trying to keep it from being what God wants, it just bursts forth and goes on and fulfills the role that God has. You and I today, a palm tree Christian in the house of God with our roots deep, we're not going to be burned. We're headed for glory. And we say, you know what you can see in the desert? A palm tree you can see at a great distance. That's why it's so tall. That's why God lets it be tall. Why? There's people in this world who are looking for something, and they're dying of thirst in the desert, and they're looking for an oasis. And here we are, the tree, the palm tree, tall. And we say to lost and dying world, there's help, there's help, there's help, there's hope, hope, hope over here. Notice thirdly, and I've got 6 minutes, thirdly, notice how we prosper. It says three times the palm tree flourishes. Three is the number for Trinity. I'm going to flourish because of God the Father. I'm going to flourish because of God the Son. I'm going to flourish because of God the Holy Spirit. The older the palm tree gets, the sweeter the fruit is. It's the scars it endures and the storms it survives makes it stronger and sweeter. Notice where it flourishes. It flourishes when it has roots deep in the house of God. Notice when it flourishes, after it's gone through the difficulty and trials and hardships of life. Notice how it flourishes. I was interested in the word flourish and the root word and how that word is translated in our King James Bible. And I went through, and here's what it means. It means to bud. It means to break forth and break through. It means to break out. It means to grow. It means to spring up. It means to blossom abundantly. It means to grow. And Ezekiel says it means to fly. So here we are. We're a palm tree. Big and tall, strong because of storms of life, with our roots deep, getting good water from the Lord in the house of God. And God says we're going to bloom and blossom and produce fruit and break through anything and break forth and break out of anything that tries to hinder us. We'll grow, we'll spring up, we'll blossom abundantly, we'll grow, and one day we'll fly out of here. We're rooted and grounded in Him. Lastly, notice in verse 15 who we praise. We praise the one who is real, the word Lord, Jehovah, the one true, only God. He is omnipotent. There is no one like him. He is the mighty God that walked out on nothing and made everything. He's the one that holds all things together. He is the mighty one of the ages. He's the ancient sovereign. He's the God of eternity. He's real. He's real tonight. He's not a fake. He's not a phony. He's not an imagination. He's not something that we hoop and holler about just to get people's emotions stirred up. He's a God that's there when you're on the mountaintop. He's a God when you're in the valley. He's a God in good times. He's a God in bad times. He's a God when you're happy. He's a God when you're sad. He's real. But then he's the one who's the rock. He is, according to Psalm 18:2. Yes, he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. But he's my rock. He's the solid rock. He's the rock of ages. Then he's the one who's right. He's upright. For he's right for whatever's wrong with you. He's my rock. Now, here's what, I'll finish with this. What happens during a storm, if you're in rocky territory, you try to find, when the lightning's flashing, the thunder is rolling and all that's going on, you try to find a refuge, a cave maybe. And if not, you try to find a big overhanging rock and try to get in the cleft of the rock. For a rock to be cleft, it has to be injured and hurt. Jesus is the rock of ages. He was injured and hurt and sacrificed on Calvary for me and you. And what you do, you'll go and hide in the cleft of the rock till the storm passes by. Years ago, I remember seeing a guy on TV. His name was Dwayne Johnson. And he was trying to convince me over the TV that he was the rock. And I said, not my rock. And then I was going down the road and somebody come up beside me, one of them vehicles that was doing that. And music was a pounding out. And I said, what you listen to? He said, man, it's rock. I said, it's not my rock. Amen. Watching TV, and they said, hey, you need to get this insurance and become a part, a piece of the rock. I said, it's not my rock. But I'll tell you who my rock is. My rock is the one who died for me on Calvary, who sacrificed his life as the Lamb of God, who was slain, who was suspended between heaven and earth and died as the one true sacrifice for humanity. And here I come, and I'm dragging myself to the door of the tabernacle, that 30-foot door there. And he says, you can only come in when you have an acceptable sacrifice. And I said, well, all I got's this lamb. You'll have to look him over. And he looked him over and said the same thing Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And I go and I lay my hands on him, and I slit his throat. Then the priest takes it and offers it as my sacrifice. And then because I've been cleaned, I get dirty in this world, I get to go to the laver and wash myself up, and then I get to go in and eat the showbread and get strength from a service. I walk in the light of the candlestick and I see that odor going up from the golden altar as he's praying for me. And then I get to go in behind the curtain to the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Calvary, because I told the preacher this morning, there's three things in the Ark of the Covenant. All three of them talk about the rebellion of man. God did them because man rebelled. And so God covered the rebellion of man by that Ark. That Ark's a type of Calvary. How did God deal with my rebellion? He dealt with it at Calvary. But then there's a mercy seat there. In John chapter number 20, when they went to that tomb on resurrection morning, you know what Jesus said? He said, roll the stone away. He said, rent that veil. I'm going to show them something on the inside. They went inside and they saw a slab which had dried blood and had an angel on one end and an angel on the other end. They saw a mercy seat. And you and I have a mercy seat in Jesus. And so as a palm tree, let the storms come, we'll bounce back up. Let the trials come. They can't burn us. They can't deal with us. We're an oasis in the desert, pointing people to the one who can give rescue and hope. We shine one day. We'll fly away home. Our roots are deep in the things of God. And it's all because of Jesus. My time's up. Amen. Preacher.